Please open your Bibles to 1 Timothy chapter 5, and we will begin there in just a minute. It's good to see everyone out this evening. We've got a really good number. Last Sunday evening, we had about 10 visitors. It looks like we have about that many tonight, too, so that's a great encouragement to us. Let's begin reading in 1 Timothy chapter 5 at verse 17. Let the elders who rule well be counted worthy of double honor, especially those who labor in the word and doctrine. For the scripture says, you shall not muzzle an ox while it treads out the grain, and the laborer is worthy of his wages. Do not receive an accusation against an elder except from two or three witnesses. Those who are sinning rebuke in the presence of all, that the rest also may fear. I charge you before God and the Lord Jesus Christ and the elect angels that you observe these things without prejudice, doing nothing with partiality. Do not lay hands on anyone hastily, nor share in other people's sins, nor keep yourself pure. No longer drink only water, but use a little wine for your stomach's sake, and your frequent infirmities. Some men's sins are clearly evident, preceding them to judgment, but those of some men follow later. Likewise, the good works of some are clearly evident, and those that are otherwise cannot be hidden. This evening, I want us to look at do not share in others' sins. We have this phrase here in 1 Timothy 5:22, do not lay hands on anyone hastily, nor share in other people's sins. I've heard some people say that this talks about when you lay hands on somebody, you're fighting. That may mean that in some instances, that's not what it's referring to here. This is talking about showing approval. And in this context of the eldership, he is warning them, don't appoint someone, lay your hands on them, show approval of them too hastily, because they may not be living as they ought to be living. A couple verses that go along with that, Acts 6:6, whom they set before the apostles, and when they had prayed and laid hands on them. That's with the men that were going to serve. Acts 13, verses 2 and 3, and they ministered to the Lord and fasted, and the Holy Spirit said, now separate to me Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I have called them. Then having fasted and prayed and laid hands on them, they sent them away. They were not bestowing hands on them for miraculous gifts. They were not bestowing hands on them because they were sick, but because they were showing approval. The same here, 1 Timothy 5:22, lay hands suddenly on no man, neither be partaker of another man's sins. I was at a service one time, and there was a young man that was in the military that was going overseas. He was going to be deployed, and before the service was over, the elders had him come forward. They put their hands on him and prayed for him to show they were supporting him and giving him approval before he was deployed. So I want us to consider this. In the sense, when we take this phrase, lay hands suddenly on no man, neither be partaker of another man's sins, keep thyself pure. How can we be guilty in sharing in other people's sins? Last week, we just wrapped up a series looking at money, and the last sermon was dealing with the apostasy, how people have departed from that pattern and gone in many different directions. And we want to look at some ways that we may not think about it, but we may be sharing in somebody else's sins. You know, sin is like leaven and it's like leprosy. It spreads and it brings death to everything. Sin is blinding and it's deceitful in nature. Somebody might say, well, you know, if I'm in a congregation and there's sin in there, I don't need to worry about that because we aren't going to be judged as a congregation. We're going to be judged individually. That is true, but again, we do not want to be partaking in someone else's sins. Paul addressed that in 1 Corinthians chapter 5, and he says, it is actually reported that there is sexual immorality among you, and such sexual immorality as is not even named among the Gentiles, that a man has his father's wife. And you are puffed up, and have not rather mourned that he who has done this deed might be taken away from among you. For I indeed, as absent in body but present in spirit, have already judged, as though I were present, him who has done this deed. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, when you are gathered together along among with my spirit, with the power of our Lord Jesus Christ, deliver such a one to Satan for the destruction of the flesh, that his spirit may be saved in the day of the Lord Jesus. Your glorying is not good. Do you not know that a little leaven leavens the whole lump? If they had allowed that man to remain in the congregation, they would have been complicit. They would have been guilty in sharing in his sin. Satan deceives us in so many ways. Paul tells us in 2 Corinthians 11, beginning at verse 3, for such are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into apostles of Christ. And no wonder, for Satan himself transformed himself into an angel of light. Therefore, it is no great thing if his ministers also transform themselves into ministers of righteousness, whose end will be according to their works. So let's look at some ways that we can be guilty in sharing in the sins of others. One of the ways is we can commit a sin together. With this, I think of Acts chapter 5, Ananias and Sapphira, and they agreed with each other in their sin. Acts 5, beginning at verse 7. Now it was about 3 hours later when his wife came in, not knowing what happened, and Peter answered her, tell me whether you sold the land for so much. She said, yes, for so much. Then Peter said to her, how is it that you have agreed together to test the Spirit of the Lord? Look, the feet of those who have buried your husband are at the door, and they will carry you out. So here we have two people committing a sin together. Others are going to try to get us to sin. They're going to work to get us to do the same things that they are doing. This world is full of sinners, and we need to be careful that we don't partake in sin with them, whether they are out in the world or in the church. Well, we can also commit the same sin separately. You think back to the Old Testament, to 1 Kings, and Jeroboam caused Israel to sin. And in 1 Kings chapter 12, beginning in verse 38, therefore the king asked advice. He made two calves of gold and said to the people, it is too much for you to go to Jerusalem. Here are your gods, O Israel, which brought you up from the land of Egypt. And he set one in Bethel and the other in Dan. Now this thing became a sin, for the people went to worship before the one as far as Dan. So what did they do? They departed from the pattern. Where were they to go to worship? They were to go to Jerusalem. And remember last week too, we looked at the places where God wanted his people to worship at different times, different dispensations. And at this time, he wanted them to worship in Jerusalem. But Jeroboam said, don't worry about that. That's too far. We'll set up a place where you can worship in Bethel and one in Dan. And this was a sin. It was a sin because they departed from the pattern. They departed from the commandment. And this became a common expression, what Jeroboam and the people did. They continued in the sin of Jeroboam, the son of Nebat, who made Israel to sin. They referred to this often, this example. You think about the Samaritans, who about 1,000 years later were still following the sin of Jeroboam. John 4, verse 20. Our fathers worshipped on this mountain, and you Jews say that Jerusalem is the place where one ought to worship. Jesus said to her, woman, believe me, the hour is coming when you will neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem worship the Father. You worship what you do not know. We know what we worship, for the salvation is of the Jews. So they were still committing this sin in a different way. They were committing the same sin separately. Stephen said in Acts chapter 7, verse 51, "You stiff-necked and uncircumcised in heart and ears, you always resist the Holy Spirit, as your fathers did, so do you." They kept on sinning and following the sin of someone before them. And Jesus said in Matthew 23, "Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, because you build the tombs of the prophets and adorn the monuments of the righteous, and say, if we had lived in the days of our fathers, we would not have been partakers with them in the blood of the prophets. Therefore, you are witnesses against yourselves that you are the sons of those who murdered the prophets." They were just so hypocritical. The people of Jesus' day said, if we had been living back then, we wouldn't have killed the prophets. We wouldn't have murdered God's people. And what did they do? They killed Stephen. They followed Paul around trying to put him to death. They crucified Christ on the cross. So we can commit the same sin separately. And again, that's sharing in someone else's sin. It just continues over and over. We can share in sin by not actually committing the sin, but consenting with those who do. You think of Saul of Tarsus in Acts chapter 7, verse 57 and 58. "Then they cried out with a loud voice, stopped their ears, ran at him with one accord," and this is as Stephen was speaking, "and they cast him out of the city, and they stoned him." They stoned Stephen. "And the witnesses laid down their clothes at the feet of a young man named Saul." Saul wasn't an innocent bystander. He was going along. He was consenting to this sin. He was not an innocent bystander. Do we know that? Do we know he just didn't happen to be standing there by accident? You keep reading in Acts chapter 8 and verse 1, "Now Saul was consenting to his death. At that time a great persecution arose against the church which was at Jerusalem, and they were all scattered throughout the regions of Judea and Samaria except the apostles." Saul did not physically partake of picking up a stone and stoning Stephen, but he was just as guilty because he was consenting to it. And he even mentions that again when he recounts his story in Acts 22 and verse 20. "And when the blood of the young martyr Stephen was shed, I also was standing by consenting to his death and guarding the clothes of those who were killing him." So some may not actually be engaged in a particular evil or sin, but they endorse those that do it. I know years ago, we have the commandment, we have teaching that if someone is unruly, you are to withdraw from them, unruly, not walking according to God's word, not walking according to the pattern. And there was a church that there is something that came up over some matters, and there was a split. We would say one was conservative, we would say the other was liberal, yet some of the people would still get together, go out to eat as if nothing happened. You have to look at case by case, but some of those people could have been guilty of consenting to the lifestyle that the others were doing. They were not living that way, but they were showing approval by their social activities on a regular basis. 2 John 9 through 11, "Whoever transgresses and does not abide in the doctrine of Christ does not have God. He who abides in the doctrine of Christ has both the Father and the Son. If anyone comes to you and does not bring this doctrine, Do not receive him into your house or greet him, for he who greets him shares in his evil deed. Again, this is showing approval. If someone came in and started teaching things that were contrary to what we could read about in God's word, we could not accept him. We could not accept him. Another example along this line, back to 1 Timothy 5:23, no longer drink only water, but use a little wine for your stomach's sake, for your frequent infirmities. Some people do not drink, but they argue for the right of somebody else to drink. And that's just Satan. That's just Satan trying to stir things up and get people fighting against each other. They are sharing in the sins of someone else. And it does so much harm for those who are having a problem trying to stay away from the alcohol. And someone will argue something like this. Well, see, here in the scripture it says, no longer drink only water, but use a little wine for your stomach's sake. Yet that person themselves want drink. They know they shouldn't drink, but they just want to keep things stirred up. Another way that we can partake in another's sins is by knowing someone else's guilt, but failing to rebuke or expose it. One of the things that we have to do for evil to prosper, and you know what this is, we do nothing. We do nothing and evil will prosper. Back to the book of Ezekiel, Ezekiel chapter 3, verse 17. Son of man, I have made you a watchman for the house of Israel. Therefore hear a word from my mouth and give them warning from me. When I say to the wicked, you shall surely die, and you give him no warning or speak to warn the wicked from his wicked way to save his life, that same wicked man shall die in his iniquity, but his blood I will require at your hand. Yet if you warn the wicked and he does not turn from his wickedness nor his wicked way, he shall die in his iniquity, but you have delivered your soul. Again, when a righteous man turns from his righteousness and commits iniquity, and I lay a stumbling block before him, he shall die because you did not give him warning. He shall die in his sin, and his righteousness which he has done shall not be remembered, but his blood I will require at your hand. Nevertheless, if you warn the righteous man that the righteous should not sin, and he does not sin, he shall surely live, because he took warning. Also, you will have delivered your soul. When somebody says, well, that's none of my business, I don't need to get involved in somebody else's business. Friends, there are some boundaries that we should draw, but we have an obligation. If we see someone in sin, we see someone that's not walking according to God's will, we know that their soul is in danger, we know that they are headed to hell, and we just sit back and don't say a thing and don't do anything, they're going to lose their soul, and most likely we will lose our soul also because we did not warn them. Again, God, when he warns people, he's not going to come through some vision today. He's not going to send an angel to warn people. That's what we are for. That's like with sharing the gospel. He's not going to send an angel to be a messenger and teach the world the gospel today. We are his mouth. We are his hands. We are his feet. We carry out his work, and we need to rebuke people, and in a loving way. But why do we do it? Not because, aha, we caught you. No, we warn them because we love them and we care about their soul. We don't do it because we think that we are better than they are. We do not want to see them lost. Many Christians know that error is being taught, but they'll keep quiet about it. Ephesians 5:11, have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather expose them. And there are different ways you can go about this. One of the ways is just bringing up the question. A congregation may be doing something. Do you think this is okay to do it this way? Do we have a thus saith the Lord? Are we speaking as the oracles of God? Do we have a it is written? In some way, we need to bring those unfruitful works of darkness to light so that they are exposed. Sometimes we see people sinning and we never rebuke them. 1 Timothy 5:20, those who are sinning rebuke in the presence of all that the rest also may fear. Back when Ananias and Sapphira were struck dead, what happened? Fear came over the whole church. That's an object lesson that you don't want to do what they did. You don't want to lie. You don't want to sin. That rebuke in the presence of all that the rest also may fear. And again, in studying Galatians with Paul, and those false teachers crept in secretly, spreading false doctrine. And he said, I'm not going to put up with this for a moment. And he called them out on it. Some churches refuse to withdraw from the disorderly. Back to 1 Corinthians 5:2. You're puffed up and have not rather mourned that he who has done this deed might be taken away from you. There are different reasons why so many of these things happen. My opinion, and it's not worth anything other than I say it's my opinion, we just live in a society that is so selfish. We care about ourselves and we don't care about our brother. We don't care about the people in the world that are lost. We don't care about our brothers and sisters that are lost. I just care about me. You know, I'm too busy. I don't have time for this. That's their problem. They know better. And we can make all kinds of excuses. And friends, when we do that, we are sharing in the sins of others. We can share in other sins by example and influence. Ezekiel 13:22. Because with lies you have made the heart of the righteous sad, whom I have not made sad, and you have strengthened the hands of the wicked, so that he does not turn from his wicked way to save his life. Again, if we do nothing, that's going to embolden those who are in sin. And we need to be careful who we are around that are in sin, and we need to stop kidding ourselves. 1 Corinthians 15:33, do not be deceived. Evil company corrupts good morals, corrupts good habits. That influence of evil is going to spread and permeate. It's going to be back like 1 Corinthians 5, like that leaven. It's just going to spread. Well, another way we can share in other sins is by endorsing the wrong kind of leaders. Back to Jeremiah 23. Also, I've seen a horrible thing in the prophets of Jerusalem. The prophets of Jerusalem, notice that phrase. They commit adultery and walk in lies. They also strengthen the hands of evildoers so that no one turns back from his wickedness. All of them are like Sodom to me, and her inhabitants are like Gomorrah. So the prophets, they've gone off. They commit adultery and walk in lies. And if the people didn't stand up and correct this, again, they would be partaking in that sin. Diotrephes in 3 John verse 9. I wrote to the church, but Diotrephes, who loves to have the preeminence among them, does not receive us. Therefore, if I come, I will call to mind his deeds, which he does, prating against us with malicious words, and not content with that. He himself does not receive the brethren and forbids those who wish to putting them out of the church. You see influential men in a congregation. Again, sometimes people may look up to a man. We aren't to think of a man above that which is written. We've got to look at God's word, not man's word. Another way we can share in others' sins is by teaching or supporting doctrines of men. You stop and you think, some things are obvious. You think about, You have the church back at the day of Pentecost. You have the apostasy. You have the Catholic Church. You have the Reformation period. You think of all those churches that were formed during the Reformation period, all those denominations that were started, that were formed. If I followed the doctrine of one of those men that started one of those denominations, I think everybody would agree I'm sharing in their sin. You know, some doctrine that you can't read about in the Bible, some man started it, I'm a member of the ABC XYC denomination, I'm sharing in their sin. Why? Because they aren't following the pattern. But then you move it on up to today, and somebody has departed from the pattern, and well, I don't know if I'm sharing in their sins or not. And we get kind of fuzzy, and we overlook certain things. And well, you know, brother so-and-so says it's okay, and I feel this is good. I know he would do it. And again, people start appealing to every kind of authority except the written authority. And when we do that, we share in their sins. Mark 7:7, and in vain they worship me, teaching as doctrines the commandments of men. Could I go next Sunday and worship in some denominational building here in town and think that I was right and God would accept my worship? I couldn't do that. Why not? Again, because I've departed from the pattern. Well, how many things do you have to depart from the pattern on? What if I find a denomination here that, you know, say they've got 8 out of 10 things, that's really good. I'll go visit them. Can't do it. Can't do it. All it takes is one departure, and we've separated ourselves from God. How about giving money to that? Well, then let's ask that question. If there's a church, which we'll go back to the denominations of the Reformation period, any of those denominations, could I take money out of my wallet and give to them? I could do that, but I would be sinning because I would be supporting their error. And I think we would all agree with that. But then you bring it up to today, December 19th, 2021, and then it gets kind of fuzzy. Or does it? Or does it? Another way we can share in someone else's sins is by following a multitude. Exodus 23:2, you shall not follow a crowd to do evil, nor shall you testify in a dispute so as to turn aside after many to pervert justice. Matthew 7:13-14, enter by the narrow gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leads to destruction. There are many who go in by it, because narrow is the gate and difficult is the way which leads to life, and there are few who find it. So we've got these comparative terms, narrow and broad, few and many. When people say, well, the majority of the people think this way, friends, the majority of the people when it comes to religion are wrong. The majority of people when it comes to religion are wrong. Read Matthew 7 if you don't believe that. We need to find the way that we can read about in the Bible. And when we think about sharing in other people's sins, and when that comes into fellowship, so fellowship is a sharing in spiritual things. And again, it is never used in the Bible in connection with secular or physical things. And when we looked at using church funds, we saw that the money from the treasury was never to be diverted from the spiritual to the secular. Never to be diverted from the spiritual to the secular. There are different ways of describing fellowship. Sometimes we see a triangle, where we have fellowship with each other when we have fellowship with God. That's a good way to look at it. I like this way also of a tire with spokes with this fellowship. We all have fellowship in God. When we all have fellowship in God, we have fellowship with equal, with each other, and things roll along smoothly. Each Christian shares in fellowship communion when we are walking in the light of God's Word, 1 John 1:7. We've been studying 1 John on Wednesday evening, and well, what if we aren't walking in the light of God's Word? Well, you back up to 1 John chapter 1 and verse 6. If we say that we have fellowship with Him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not have the truth. But if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. And verse 6, I don't say that to be mean or ugly to anybody. And as I said last week with these issues that split the church back in the 50s and 60s, I have a lot of relatives that think there's nothing wrong with all kinds of secular things in the church. But what does the Bible say? What, it doesn't matter what I say or what they say, what does the Bible say? If we say that we have fellowship with Him and walk in darkness, well, what's darkness? Darkness is when we are not walking in the light. That light, His Word, Thy Word is a lamp unto my feet. That light, His Word, directs us how to walk. If we say that we have fellowship with Him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not have the truth. But if we walk in the light, as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. If we are all following the pattern, we are not sharing in one another's sins, because we are all walking in the light, in the light. What if we have been sharing in the sins of others? Paul addressed that in 2 Corinthians chapter 6, beginning at verse 14. Be not unequally yoked together with unbelievers, for what fellowship, again, that communion, that sharing in spiritual things with God, for what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? And what communion hath light with darkness? And what concord hath Christ with Belial? Or what part hath he that believeth with an infidel? And what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For ye are the temple of the living God. As God hath said, I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Wherefore, come out from among them and be ye separate. So this is easy to say, it's hard to do, because if we realize that we are sharing in someone else's sins, we are told that we should come out of that. The issue, the problem that they had in Corinth was with the idol worship. They had so many problems in Corinth, so many problems for so many reasons, but idol worship was one. Eating meat offered to idols was another. Again, the fornication, the adultery in chapter 5, the taking a brother to law. They had a long list of things that they needed to correct. What did they do? Did they just throw up their hands and say, this is too much, or something? No. Paul wrote to them. They wrote to Paul. 1 Corinthians was written in response to them to answer their questions, and he wrote another letter to them. So whenever we come across something like this, if we have a question, are we involved in sharing in the sins of somebody else, we don't want to throw up our hands and not deal with it or not think about it or just forget it. We need to examine it and examine it with God's Word. And if we see that what I am doing, if I can't read about it in here, I want to stop doing it. Because if I don't, and it doesn't, to back up a minute, so many of these things are emotional issues. They're emotional because they involve our friends, they involve our relatives, they involve these associations that we've had for a long time. But if I see that I am doing something or may be involved in something, no matter how much I love somebody, no matter how much I love a group, I'm not going to go to hell because I love that group. I can still love those people, but I'm going to separate myself from them because, friends, if we lose our soul, if we miss going to heaven, eternal destruction is what awaits us. And why do so many people say, oh, don't worry about that. You know, back to last week, you're too legalistic. You're too legalistic. Friends, why are all of these things written in this legal book, this covenant? And we wouldn't have the division. We wouldn't have the problems that we have in the Lord's church if we would go back to the Bible. I pray that if we are sharing in the sins of others, that we will study and learn what we need to do to get out of that. Friends, if you aren't a member of the church, you already know you are in sin. You're in sin because you have violated God's word. You've separated yourself. Again, when you realize that, you also have to realize we can't do anything to save ourselves. We have to go to Christ. He's the only way that we can be saved. We have to have that blood, His blood, to cleanse us of our sins. We need to be baptized to come in contact with that blood. And then we need to rise up to walk in newness of life, to walk in the light, not in the darkness, to walk as a new man, to put those things away. We help each other. We help each other. If someone sins, we don't say, aha, you sinned. No, we say, let me help you. Let me help you. We all need each other to help each other so we can all make it to heaven. We don't want to see anyone lost. Friends, if there's anyone this evening that needs to respond, we invite you to come forward now as we stand and sing.